Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our first session in 2025. I trust that each of you had a most joyful Christmas, and I'm believing for you and for me as well that this will be a great new year for us, that 2025 will be our best year ever. And I think you'll see as we start today in just a few moments that the Lord has given us a great topic to begin with on this year. So let me pray, and then we will just jump right into today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach us because you care about us so that we can become more like you. And we thank you for who you are. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor today as we are about to receive the word of life. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, our spiritual eyes, as we yield to you, that we may see him as he is. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking today about ever faithful. When I begin to think about right after or just before New Year's, I guess, what I was going to be teaching both here in these sessions and in the healing schools that I'm going to be doing this month in at High Point Church, I heard two words, and I knew which one was for which. The first was love, and it has to do with some things in healing school and what I've experienced and where the Lord took me during the months of November and December. And then I heard this word, faithful. And right away, I knew exactly what we're to do. So we're going to talk today about our ever-faithful God. Now, I expect to spend two or three sessions on this. And then we will probably transition, that's the leaning I'm perceiving now, to move toward how we too can be faithful. Remember, we're changed from glory to glory in his image. And so what I want to say to you to start with is we see him as faithful. Only then can we consider being faithful to him, because we can't do it in our natural being. So my hope today is that these words of faith that we're going to study today will nourish you. I would even say we want to feed on them, and you're going to see some verses, if not today, later on, that would talk or speak about that. And that's my hope for you, that we're going to be encouraged today, that we're going to feel our faith begin to rise in these first several sessions as we approach 2025 with confidence that the Lord will use us. Now, everyone wants to hear good and faithful servant from the Lord. I'm talking about where he spoke to the people who he gave 5, 2, and 1 of money to invest. And we'll be talking about that, but in the weeks to come. So we're going to get to our faithfulness. But again, we first want to see God's faithfulness toward us. And again, without that revelation, I don't believe we can walk truly faithful to him. So go with me and let's just get started today. And this is going to be one that we kind of go slow through a few scriptures. But I've got pages and pages of faithful scriptures. And so we're going to hit a lot of those in the coming weeks. But today I just want to introduce this. So go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And we're going to be reading in the 11th verse. Now, we all know that Hebrews 11:6 is without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you're going to see the tie today between seeing God as faithful, being ever faithful, and how it impacts our faith. So here we get to verse 11, and this is about Sarah. And it says, and we're going to be going back to Genesis, so we're going to kind of start at the end or in the middle and work our way through this. It says, by faith, even Sarah considered herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful, some translations say judged him faithful, who had promised. So let's break this up. By faith, everything we do is by faith. It's impossible to please him. And that is so important. But sometimes I think we get focusing so much on faith that there are some elements about the nature of God that we can focus on that will strengthen us in our faith. And that's what this has done for me. By faith, even Sarah herself. Now, you know that Abraham and Sarah were in this together. But this just says to me, the way this reads, that we each need to have faith. I can't depend on others. I can't depend on BJ. Mom's just celebrated her 94th birthday. I can't depend on her faith. I have to walk in faith to be able to receive all that God has. Now, yes, He provisions this so that we can join together in faith. But we just can't be lazy, or we can't think, I don't have to do it, and I'll just depend on, and you can fill in the blank. That's not going to get you where God wants you to be. So by faith, even Sarah herself, and then it says, received ability to conceive. Now, receive there is that same word, lambano, that means to take. And so there's an element of this that when we're walking in faith, that we are taking God from God, His goodness, things He's giving us. Now, this is an interesting word because King James says that she receives strength. And I understand ability, but I like strength well. But now what God has done here is He set us up to answer the question or to see how or what happened that she was able to receive this ability, this strength to conceive. Because remember, now, she couldn't conceive all through life. And then it says, and that's what it really goes on, it says, even beyond the proper time of life. We're going to see that again in a minute, and we'll talk a bit more about it. But here's the answer to how she received the strength to conceive. Since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, I said it also considers, the word consider can be translated judge. So she judged him faithful. Faithful to do what? Faithful to perform the words that he had spoken over her. Now, as we look at this, she made a decision at some point, and this is an important thing for us to note. She made a decision at some point that God was faithful. I believe she saw that really from seeing some of the things that God had been faithful to Abraham on and how he had blessed him. And I'm sure she was asking, what about me? What about me? And you're going to see that come into play here. But again, she couldn't receive at 20. She couldn't conceive then, certainly, at 89 or 90. Can you imagine the reactions once she considered God faithful, if she would talk to some about it? Her servants, her maidservants, do you reckon they might have chuckled so that she couldn't see it and say, Sarah's losing her mind? And those are all things that I'm sure we're tempted to think at times as well. I have a teacher that I listen to, and he talks about, can you imagine Abraham and Sarah going to a clinic, to a doctor, and what that doctor might say? Again, all these negative thoughts coming against you, and that's what the devil wants to do to you and I. You know, when the Lord told me to begin teaching, I thought, I'm too old to do this. And there's so many things as we age that the devil begins to tell us. But you're going to see there is nothing. There is no thing. And I like to say it this way. There's no word spoken by God that's recorded in the Word of God that we have today that is too difficult for Him to perform. We're going to see He's also faithful in His Word. Now, having that, Sarah, with an ability or an inability to conceive, received strength. And how did she do it? By considering Him faithful. Faithful to what? To what He had promised He would do. So go back with me to Genesis, the 18th chapter, and we're going to begin in the 9th verse. 18 verse 9. Now this is the account when it says the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. And I personally believe this was Jesus with two angels. And We can show you that in Scripture, but you'll have to take my word for it today if you've never heard that. I know most of you probably do believe it. And so we want to pick up in verse 9 because the Lord appeared to Abram and he was very pleased that he did. He wanted Sarah to make a meal for him. He got the best young calf to slaughter, to feed. And in verse 9, after they're partaking of the things he prepared, and they're doing it outside under a tree, the Lord said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Now, he's showing an interest in her, just like he is Abraham. And I think this is important for us to see. Sometimes we think, well, the Lord shows more favor to this person in my family or that than I. And you're going to see that's a farce. That's what the devil wants you to think. So he says, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And Abram responds, "Behold, in the tent." And again, they were outside in front of the tent. Verse 10 says, then begins to say, "I will surely return to you at this time next year," speaking this to Abraham. But Sarah is hearing it. And then he says, "And behold," so look closely at this. You need to just understand what's about to be said. "Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So I'll return to you at this time next year," and pay attention, because "Sarah, your wife, will have a son at that time. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him." So he's facing. He doesn't see her behind him. And that's important with what's about to happen. Then verse 11 tells us that it tickles me, because the scripture says Abraham and Sarah were old. Now, if the Bible says you're old, then you must be old. So they're not playing games here now. And then it says advanced in age. And then he says Sarah was past childbearing. So that means to me that she's gone through the change of life that women do, in which they're no longer able to conceive. So she couldn't conceive when she was of age, and now she can't. And you see why it emphasized that then back in Hebrews 11, because this is what we would consider an absolutely impossible situation. So he hears him say, he says this, Sarah hears it, and then this verse 10 concludes by saying, "Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and she was past childbearing." So she's standing behind the Lord, and verse 12 says, "And Sarah laughed to herself." So she did this kind of inside her, so that what? So that the Lord can't hear. We've all done that. Somebody will tell us something and we'll say to ourselves, kind of chuckle inside. Maybe we'll think, yeah, that'll be the day. So this is what she was doing. But she was saying to herself as she was doing it, "After I have become old," and she's thinking this now to herself, "shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Those days, she's thinking, are long gone. Then, in verse 13, the Lord doesn't turn and speak to her. He speaks to Abraham, continuing. And he says, "Why did Sarah laugh?" So the Lord knows our thoughts. We can't hide from him. If he tells you something and you think it's impossible, then you need to be careful. You need to consider, is he faithful to me or not? Because he's going to know when we don't react positively. "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old?" So he even knew exactly what she was thinking in verse 13. Now, this is interesting, because as she laughed, she made a decision. What did she decide? Well, in verse 11, of chapter 11 in Hebrews, she judged God faithful. But here she is right now judging the angel of the Lord, or Jesus, as funny. She thought it was funny that he would say that. I might even say ridiculous. So she's judging at this time Jesus to be funny. Now, to me, we need to see that as she wasn't in faith at all. She had no way of no thought of ever this ever coming about. We might say she had a faith failure. She got a rhema from God, but it did not bear witness with her. She could not believe it. She could not see herself in that word. So how often have we had a failure and think we're doomed because we did? Don't. That's what the devil wants us to think, but that's not where we are. How do we know this? Because we just read in Hebrews 11, that's why I wanted to start there, that she judged him rightly as faithful. Can you and I do that as well? Can we have a miss and turn it around? Oh, the Lord is merciful. We sure can. Verse 13 goes on, and I read it, and it says about, why did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall indeed have a child when I'm so old? And look at what he says in 14 as he continues that thought. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, before I go on in that verse, I want to tell you that word difficult literally implies something wonderful. So let's look at this as what he's really saying and put it in. We understand the difficult, but is anything so wonderful as making Sarah have a child when she's 90? Is that too difficult for the Lord? That's literally what is said. And if you remember, this word wonderful is important. That was one of the things Jesus was called. And he says, at the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Again, not talking to Sarah behind him, speaking to Abraham. Now, Sarah, she hears this, and look what happens in verse 15. She denies it, saying, I did not laugh. Now, she's gone from judging Jesus funny, which she shouldn't have done, to now she's lying about what she's done. Another failure, we might think. And why did she do it? It says, for she was afraid. Saints, when we get in fear of any type, it will make you do funny things. It will make you act in unreasonable ways. It will place unreasonable thoughts in your mind. We've all experienced this. And the Lord said back to her, no, but you did laugh. Now, we're going to stop there. We're not going to read any further. But let's just think about this. What if today we've got an organ that's not functioning properly? We're in some financial distress, or we're being tormented mentally in some way. Is that too difficult for the Lord? Can he not do something equally wonderful for you and I to turn this around for you and I? Now, also, as I was meditating these verses, it jumped out at me how the Lord said a couple of times, I will return to you, speaking to Abraham. You know, I'm sure Abraham was a bit shocked at this also. I'm not going to say or judge him that he did or did not judge him properly at this time. But sometimes when we can't see it, it's difficult. But the Lord, I think, is encouraging, saying, I'm going to return with him. You're going to hear me say about faithfulness later on. One of the attributes of his faithfulness is that he's always with us. So now, let's continue this and go to Genesis 20. And we're just going to read the first two verses. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. And then he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So what I believe happened here is they moved to this area. The king had people in his court who were out looking for beautiful women to do what? To bring into his harem. Now, that's something that may be foreign for us today, but that was the culture of the pagans, particularly at that time. Now, let me just ask this. Here's Sarah, past 90, and the king wants her. He's had some men spying out, and they've seen something wonderful. Do you think that something was going on in her body? Do you think there was power at work? Do you think that maybe she had already begun to believe and that power had been released in her, you know, don't put it down, because doesn't Scripture tell us that He'll restore our youth? Psalm 103, verse 5, I believe. So don't you judge the word inaccurate here. See that something was happening. There are a lot of women who look beautiful as they age. But there becomes a point when I don't think a younger king would want a woman potentially twice his age. I don't know how old he was. This just makes me think something had happened, and something had also happened in Sarah where she had begun judging differently. So she went from laughing about her age to being selected. Now, there were others in the Old Testament and in the New who were certainly impacted by God's power. Think about Moses. His eyes were clear. When Moses died, he climbed a mountain to go up on the mountain so he could see the promised land before he died, because he could not enter into it. What had happened to him? His youth was being renewed for him to be able to do that. Now, what I'm not saying here is that our bodies won't come under attack. But if they do, God can change. And you're going to see, as we go through this, He's faithful to do so. You know, for a lot of us, as we age, we need to begin to see God as faithful to keep us renewing our body so that we can live a long, productive life. If He doesn't do that for me, I'm not going to be able to continue to teach in the coming years. And so we need to open our heart to this. So she considered, I believe, what He had said, and at some point in this began to judge, or I might to say to count or to esteem, the Lord faithful to His words. And now let's go to Genesis 21, the first 7 verses, and we'll see what the Lord did. Verse 1 starts out and said, "Then the Lord took note. He did not forget. He was faithful to remember." Now, this is exactly what He said about the children of Israel concerning what had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "He took note of Sarah as He had said." Now, I think it's important that He said that we see He took note of Sarah. Didn't say He took note of Abraham. He took note of Sarah. So don't you say, "Well, He just doesn't notice me." Can't do that. "He took note of Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age," not to mention hers, "at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had bore to him," making a distinction now, "Isaac." Now, what does Isaac mean? It literally means "he laughs." Now, when I read that, even when I said it then, I see things going on the earth and us worrying about it, and God sitting in the heavens laughing at it. He laughs. Verse 4, "So Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as the Lord had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." And then we get to verse 6. "And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me." God has made laughter for me, or has made me to laugh. Now, she's laughing now in joy. But what was she laughing at and doubting earlier? Fear. So He had turned her mourning into joy, and now she's laughing. And then she says, "And everyone who hears will laugh with me," will rejoice, will be joyful, will be gleeful, will laugh at what has happened. When before we talked about, what do you reckon the maids and the people at the clinic were saying? "You're a goofball. You've lost your mind." But they turned it around. They were laughing at her. Now they are laughing with her. And saints, we too can have the last laugh at the devil. It doesn't matter who we are Once we're able to see God's faithfulness to the promises He's made in His words and spoken to us, we too can have that last laugh. And then in verse 7, Sarah said, "Who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." So no man would have said this, but our Jesus said it. And think of the things He said to you and I today. He's the one who called things that be not as though they were. He is faithful to His word. From laughing and unbelief, at some point, she judged God faithful. I personally believe she did like the Lord instructed Joshua to meditate my word, to mutter it, to think about it. I believe she also saw in the past how God had been faithful to Abraham and was convinced that He would do the same for her. That's one of the ways we can stay in confidence that He's faithful, is look at what He did in the past, knowing He will what? Do it again. And something wonderful happened to her body. Nothing was too difficult. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is the Lord able to do that with me, to change my body, to provide what I need? She judged Him faithful. He changed her body physically. For you and I, the bigger question is, do I believe He wants to? Most of us will say, yeah, God's able. But we must settle this question that He is faithful to me. He is faithful to each one of you. And the truth is, many in church pick and choose what they think God will be faithful about. They don't take His word. Now, I'm going to say some things that are, you may think I'm being too hard here, but it's really what I believe. And I say that because there's some things He's convicted me about. I don't think God is pleased at all when we don't see Him faithful to His word. And that means if I see it, I'm acting on it. Because you know, to hear means to act as well in the Hebrew language. I think, in fact, He despises it when we judge Him unfaithful. And I say that because looking at the things that had to happen to the children of Israel. Now, what does faithful mean? Let me just give you some other words. Firm, stable. Well, that sounds like a cornerstone to me. Permanent, sure, reliable, one you can depend on, one you can count on, we might say. So how do we judge God as some of those things? Listen to what Proverbs 25 verse 14 says. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth, which is always hurting, or a foot that is out of joint. And that the implication there is you take a step and you can't be confident that you're not going to fall from taking that step. In other words, unfaithfulness brings us pain, and it brings us no confidence, feeling like we have no support at all. In other words, we don't determine that we can lean on or trust in God when we need to. Now, when we get that way, the truth is that we're hopeless in that situation. Now, I'm not saying in every situation, but in that one, we are not judging God as faithful. We're just afraid to trust Him. And the bottom line is we're not certain what He said He would do. So let's wrap up today by looking at three or four other scriptures. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. This is going to address God being faithful to you and to me. He's talking to the children of Israel. But when I read these verses, I want you to think about 1 Peter 2, 9, where it talks about it. We're a chosen people, a royal people, a people of God's own possession. Think about this. For you are a holy people to God. That's what we've been made. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you. We know He loves us, or choose you because you were more in number. So it's not about me, for you were the fewest. In verse 8, because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He had swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you. Now, you can't say you're not redeemed, as what we've gone through the past year studying, which he swore to you by his fathers. And how did he do it? He brought us out from a house of slavery from the hand of the enemy, who was Pharaoh the king, just like he's delivered us. And here's what I want you to see. Verse 9 starts off with no. Now, this word no is in the Hebrew yada, yada, in which it means to know intimately, as in Adam knew Eve. It's that intimacy experience. It's not just saying, oh yeah, I know that. It's having experienced it. So he's saying, experience, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Saints, you and I are a holy people, chosen by God, his own possession, redeemed. And we can know, therefore, that he is faithful to us. Now, I mentioned he was faithful to your word. Psalm 119, verse 38. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and in exceeding faithfulness. And that's Psalm 119, 138. The New King James says, your testimonies, which you've commanded, are righteous and very faithful. And the word that's implied in very there means vehement. That's why we see the word exceeding. And that reminded me of what? Of that he wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Now, I want to use one New Testament scripture, and we'll come back to it later. And it's 1 Corinthians 1:9. Simply says, God is faithful. We must take that as its face, just like we take 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:16 to say, God is love. He does not have love. He is love. God does not have a degree of faithfulness. He is faithfulness in every way. And he's faithful to you and I because we were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Last verse. And I'm going to skip over some that I had in my notes for time's sake, but we'll come right back to these so we can end up at this point next week too. John writing said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called, what? Faithful and true. That is Jesus. That's our Jesus. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head or many diadems. And he has a name. He has a name written upon him which no one knows himself. And listen to this. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, his own blood, for you and I. And his name is called the Word of God. All the promises that we've looked at through the years we've been studying together can be ours. And saints, I think it's something that, for me, it's turned a light on. That I don't have to just struggle to believe a word. All I got to do is count Jesus faithful to do what he said in his word he would do. And we're going to see we can rise up to that next level as we go through these next couple of weeks. Welcome back. I hope this encourages you as much as it has me during these past months. And we just look forward to what he's going to share with us in the coming weeks. You have a great week, and we'll see you soon.